It isn't now, nor has it ever been my intention to discuss politics in this forum, because politics in this country has gotten really stupid and dangerous. But I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge the terrible tragedy that happened 20 years ago today. 20 years ago, when this radio program was a broadcast show on station WRPI in Troy. And we didn't have an episode that particular day because it wasn't our day of the week. But a few days later, when we did have one, we spent the hour and some change talking about it. And I think in honor of the Americans who lost their lives that day, and as well as any other innocents who may have been aboard those planes or in the towers, I'd like to just take a moment of silence. Thank you. Here's this week's episode. From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 51 of Little Brother, dated the 11th of September, 2021. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. So let's get started. Right to Life Texas recently put a website online where members of the general public can send tips and evidence in service of Texas' new law that allows private citizens to sue anyone for taking part in the performance of an abortion past the sixth week of pregnancy. The site simply presents a form where one can enter the details of the alleged violation. Needless to say, the site has been the subject of a number of attacks on several fronts, including scripts from multiple authors that flood the site with fake information. I have it on good authority that uploading the ICAR antivirus test string has no observable effect on the site. What did have an effect, though, is that on Friday the 3rd, too late to make this podcast's deadline for episode 50, the site's registrar, GoDaddy, terminated their account. The site was down for about a day before reappearing with a new registrar, only to have it go down again under the load of the multitude of automated and manual attempts to overload the site. As of this writing, it's back up and running again, but it seems likely that this may change at any time. More on that later. Nicholas Chalen has just resigned in spectacular form as the Chief Software Officer of the U.S. Air Force. Why is this newsworthy? He posted about it on LinkedIn, listing off his accomplishments as one does on LinkedIn, but turning a critical eye on the organization. Amongst his critiques, a willingness to talk about what needs to be done, coupled with absolutely no willingness to actually do it, the placement of experienced but incorrectly skilled officers in charge of projects, and a tendency to become stale as technology marches on, bypassing the bureaucracy. Quote, please stop putting a major or lieutenant colonel in charge of critical technologies for 1 to 4 million users when they have no previous experience in the field, end quote, he writes. Quote, we are setting up critical infrastructure to fail, end quote. This week, privacy service Proton Mail were obligated to produce information about one of their users for law enforcement. Prior to the event, Proton Mail's website crowed, quote, by default, we do not keep permanent IP logs in relation to your use of the services, end quote. It goes on to list some exceptions. In this particular case, Proton Mail provided Swiss authorities with the IP address and some additional metadata regarding an individual involved in Youth for Climate Action in Paris. In response, ProtonMail have removed the claim that they do not retain IP addresses, and a leftist blog in France has suggested that the use of services such as ProtonMail should be coupled with either Tor or at the very least used over a VPN to mask the origin of the traffic. U.S. Cyber Command, or Cybercom for short, issued an alert by Twitter on Friday the 3rd warning about a vulnerability in Atlassian Confluence, a corporate wiki application frequently used in conjunction with Atlassian's suite of IT collaboration tools. The vulnerability in question enables an attacker to run arbitrary code on the server hosting Confluence. However, a patch has existed since the end of last month. Cybercom's advice is something you've doubtless heard me say many times. Patch your systems. Cybercom's alert was sent out before the long weekend with the advice that this cannot wait until after the weekend. While we're on the topic of the Confluence vulnerability, the maintainers of software build automation tool Jenkins were attacked using the very same vulnerability. The exploit was used to install a CryptoCoin miner in a disused Confluence server. There are two morals of the story here. One, patch your systems, even if they're deprecated. Two, if it's deprecated, shut it off. It's far more difficult to attack a server or an endpoint if it's powered off. And as if we weren't busy enough already keeping up with all of the different ways that a system can be pwned, GhostScript, a software library which is used to manipulate PostScript and PDF data primarily, and image data in general, has a critical vulnerability. Security researcher Emil Lerner discovered the targeted vulnerability and spoke about it at the Zero Night X conference. Another security researcher, Nguyen Thế Duc, developed a proof-of-concept exploit and published it on GitHub, and its viability has since been confirmed by other researchers. GhostScript is often invoked in image conversion software such as the very popular ImageMagick, and so may appear on public-facing servers for various good reasons. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. And you know what that music means. It's time for another episode of Who Got Pwned This Week. This week we have Right to Life Texas, who I mentioned just a minute ago in the headlines. Apparently, the activist group was not properly securing its website, providing access to the resumes of all things of about 300 job applicants. These, as resumes do, of course, included names, addresses, phone numbers, and full job histories. There is, however, no evidence that the data were copied by adversarial actors, which makes this an unusual story for the Who Got Pwned section of the show. Usually, we're talking about large sums of money being asked for decryption or for a copy of found data. In this case, however, the flaw was detected and reported by a security researcher and consequently buttoned up. Now, there are multiple levels of failure here, though, which I think are relevant and important. First off, what were resumes doing on a public-facing server? Even if the public-facing server were used to apply for jobs with them, this is the sort of information that should be treated like a digital hot potato and moved off of the public-facing server at the earliest opportunity. But I think more importantly, one has to ask, regardless of how you feel about Right to Life Texas' mission, what business do they have as a political lightning rod such as they are, putting up a public-facing server and not securing the damn thing? Surely they must have realized that they have enemies and that any server with their name on it that isn't ironclad is an invitation to get pwned. Obviously, the invitation has been accepted. Finally, we have a late entry for Who Got Pwned This Week, and it is Fortinet. The details are a bit sketchy as yet, but it appears that a file containing 498,000 leaked Fortinet VPN passwords has been compiled by a threat actor identifying themselves as Orange. This is not from a VPN service, but rather from a corporate gateway appliance of the sort that many of us have been using to work from home for the past year and a half. The accounts compromised cover 12,000 individual devices, with just under 3,000 of them located in the United States. This one is particularly dangerous because it can lead to further pwns of the organizations unlucky enough to find their credentials on this list. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fongaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group, with special thanks to Azriel, Mystere73, and Thriller at Play for story suggestions. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80, our Who Got Punt music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad, and our theme music is Around Chaos by Heatseeker. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well. Patch your systems.